Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be unto you all, and welcome once again to the Elevated Places Network. Tonight is Thursday. We are celebrating our 10th anniversary on the air, and we are so pleased to be with you again on Elevated Places. I am your host for the Thursday evening edition, which is called Ask Minister Ava, with myself, Sister Ava Muhammad, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, who is also host of A Time for Justice that airs at 7 Central, 8 Eastern, every Tuesday night right here on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And, of course, last but certainly never least is our incredible executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, who brings everything together and makes it all happen for us. We have such an exciting program tonight. Recently, Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad, the international representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, and formerly the National Assistant to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, recently celebrated his 80th birthday. And there was a beautiful Zoom presentation. I was blessed to watch it. And Brother Terrence, as always, he gets the most sparkling, stunning array of legendary brothers and sisters to come on this program. And when you talk legend, you have to talk about Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad. And so we've got a great program. We've got the latest Final Call news headlines. And as all of us have said, we know we're beyond prophecy. We're living in the time of judgment. And, of course, these mass shootings that continue to take place and the shooters having generally that same profile, and yet the proliferation of guns continues. We'll probably see if we can get Brother Minister Akbar to weigh in on that. We'll also be another popular guest on Elevated Places is going to drop by briefly, the Student Minister of Agriculture and Final Call contributor and research team member, Dr. Rizzi Muhammad, has a special report for us on the Muhammad Farms Founders Day, July 4th celebration. So we got a jam-packed program, Brother Terrence, and with that, I'm going to turn the mic over to you to take us further. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. Yes, it is definitely jam-packed, and we're going to try to be as quick as we can because we want to get right into this show. Like you said, it is power-packed. We definitely want you to continue to hear the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we always uplift the unraveling of a great nation, Savior's Day 2020, back in February of 2020, the Criterion, July 4th, 2020, that we actually made sure that people saw again and revisited this past July 4th, and we celebrated our independence on this past Monday and raising our independent flag, the sun, the moon, and the star, freedom, justice, and equality, that which only God can give us, and we are thankful for the coming of Master Farid Muhammad, July 4th, 1930, as we celebrated that on this past Monday. We want to make sure also to go back and continue to listen and watch and study the Swan Song for February 27th of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Savior's Day, Powerful Address. And go to the digital edition of the Final Call newspaper, finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com. And you can hear what Dr. Abel was talking about, the beautiful article on our brother student minister Akbar Muhammad, and all of the accolades and the beauty about our brother. And also in that Final Call, as some memes have gone out on social media, Dr. Ava, about Jalen Walker and how he was treated, and or just new after shooter, which he ran away and they caught and they just held him down. He didn't get killed. He didn't get shot. It's amazing how they handle the active shootings and people that have killed people versus people that they just say they suspect, where they never find a weapon or they don't have anything on this person. But black folks are just in the line to be ready to be killed and mauled down. So that's a lot going on that we can get into. But like I said, this is a power pack, very much so a power pack. So we definitely want to hear about Founders Day. We definitely want to give time for Student Minister Akbar to speak. And also, just if you want to just give a shout out and just help everybody's prayers for Roland Martin. His crew was going to do some stuff around Essence, and he totally lost his Sprinter. That is his whole studio production is in his Sprinter that he travels. Mm-hmm. But all of his crew are okay. Everybody's fine. He was traveling, making sure that everybody's out of the hospital. They are all right. You know, so of course, if you go to his social media page on Facebook and Instagram, he'll tell you how he can help, because it's independent. Just like the Final Call, we ask you to contribute to the Final Call, because it's an independent newspaper that is covering the stories that we need to be covering about us and what's going on around the world with the right narrative and the right perspective. So we want to shout out Roland that everything gets good. Roland Martin Unfiltered. Just wanted to shot him out, because we all are concerned about our people. Number one, we are definitely concerned about our people. But as I said, Dr. Ava, I'm going to be short this week because we want to just make sure that we can get into all of the stuff that we want to get in on this week and have a wonderful and amazing show. So I already know. So the Pamela had one of the great Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad on her show, A Time for Justice, Tuesday. Yeah. Awesome. So that show was fire. So I know she's gearing to come up and tell us what's going on in the world and how that show was. So, like I said, we want to hear from all of the guests that are coming on tonight. So back to you, Dr. Ava.
All right. Well, without further ado, as you noted, there was a sizzling program this past Tuesday on A Time for Justice, and I told Sister Attorney Pamela, we're going to have to start talking about the upcoming programs as well, so that our listeners can get a heads up and know to tune in. So we're not always telling them what they missed, even though some of our great callers and listeners do tune in on Tuesday nights as well. So without further ado, my dear sister attorney, Pamela Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am, Sister Dr. Ava and Brother Terrence. Yes, ma'am. All praises are due to Allah. Thank you so much for mentioning this past episode of A Time for Justice. And as Brother Terrence mentioned, we did have the great Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad on our show. We were so blessed and enlightened as he talked about making our communities decent and safe places to live. And he talked about his organization, the Peacekeepers. And he said, you know, the organization is made up of anyone who wants to help bring peace in their community. So he gave us a lot of great information, beautiful show, and we were so thankful to Allah for having him. And I just wanted to reiterate what Brother Terrence mentioned about our brother Jalen Walker, who was just, you know, horribly and just barbarically murdered in Ohio. And the thing is, the Final Call's title, No Equal Justice, and it really, Sister Minister Ava, it made me the barbaric manner in which he was murdered, and how one of the witnesses said barbarism is the first thought that came to his mind when reflecting upon the number of shots that were fired on Mr. Walker, 90 shots being fired, 60 hitting him, as we know. And we know that the law, it really prohibits the use of lethal force unless they believe it's necessary to prevent imminent death or serious bodily injury. And so it really kind of made me, I was blessed to see a couple quotes that I think are so very important. And one of them came from The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. As we reflect on this 400 years of suffering, Sister Ava, and this lynching of black men, and it was a quote from a governor in Mississippi by the name of James K. Vardaman between 1861 and 1930. And what he said, after all, he continued, we do not stop when we see a wolf to find if it will kill sheep before disposing of it, but assume that it will. And that was in a conversation where he was counseling people about the lynching of black men and saying how, we need to slaughter. We would be justified in slaughtering every Ethiop on the earth to preserve the unsullied honor of one Caucasian's home. So when you see this brutality and the shooting down of an unarmed black man, it makes you really realize how they're looking at our people. And so in closing, another article, and this was by the ACLU back in, this article's 2019, and it talks about the Central Park. I think it's the five or the teenagers who were, brutally prosecuted and imprisoned for falsely being accused of raping that white woman. Well, in that case, another time they're saying, so it's no surprise that in 1989, prosecutors and the media labeled these boys over the age of 16 as part of a roving wolf pack, a racially charged term commonly used at that time in New York to describe young black and brown men. Because what it is, they're saying throughout our history, black people in particular have been equated with animals. With the predictable result of promoting violence against them. So this, again, we have to just remember what we're seeing when we see that type of savagery, that shooting of our brother Jalen Walker. So that was what I wanted to just mention with the No Equal Justice articles that were in this week's Final Call. And the article is by Brother William Muhammad that we really need to look at. So that's what I wanted to bring up. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
Assalamualaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. Separation, the best and only solution. And this is going to do nothing but intensify. And our remaining here is just to our own detriment and harm. And that was a perfect assessment that you just gave, is their state of mind. You can't legislate away their state of mind. And that's what determines their actions. So we appreciate that, Sister Pamela, so much. So we also have, yes, ma'am, we also have with us to give us a brief report on a special report on the Muhammad Farms Founders Day July 4th celebration. And I want to open up the line for our dear brother, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me over the thunder and lightning?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Praise be to Allah. Because the storm is coming up. But thank you for having me on. I'm only going to be on for a few minutes. But it's two things I really wanted to highlight.
This
is the last weekend for the ordering for the Staple Goods Project, Staple Goods number 22. This Sunday will be the last day for ordering. So if you have not ordered your Staple Goods, your Muhammad Farms whole wheat flour, pastry flour, cream of whole wheat, muffin mix, your honey, your navy beans, red beans, black beans, your brown rice. If you haven't done that, go to noimoa.org, noimoa.org, and order your staple goods. Now, this past weekend changed my spirit. Muhammad Farms Day. We did a lot of things. They had a lot of things happen. But I'm going to get right to the crux of it. As you know, Minister Ava, I've been catching hell on this farm road that belongs to the county, that we pay taxes and fix it. They don't fix it, and when they do, they tear up stuff. Well, they tore up our irrigation pipe that went underneath the road for the second time back in April, and they said they would fix it. The county said they would fix it. They did not. I got an engineer to give me a quote. He never got back with me. I tried to hire somebody to help me to do it. He quit. So I did as most I could with the backhoe, but at a point, we're trying to dig this pipe out from underneath the road. I didn't want to tear the pipe up even more, so I had to do what I could with the backhoe, and now I had to do it by hand. So I tried to hire somebody to help me, and he quit. But this weekend, Founders Day, Muhammad Farms Day, I just asked for volunteers, for brothers to help me to dig this pipe out. And four brothers showed up, Brother Barry from New York, and three brothers from Winter Haven, the student minister there, Brother James Muhammad, his secretary, Brother Alex X, and the captain, student captain, Brother Rafi. And the four of them, and I had to go tend to other business. I showed them what I think needed to be done, but I didn't know exactly what was going to happen when they dug a certain level, what were they going to see, and how they going to have to react. So anyway, lo and behold, these brothers, in 100-degree weather, they dug that pipe out. And then they asked me, did I have a replacement pipe? I said, well, yes, I do have a replacement pipe for a 20-foot section of 6-inch aluminum pipe. And so I said, look, okay, let's try to put it in. So I helped them, and we actually put it in. So we did all that within a few hours, and there's something that I've been trying to get done for months. And they actually, you know, I don't like when people talk about the black man is God, black man is God, and then you ain't doing nothing to show you God. I mean, you know, you may have a potential to be God, but you have to do something to be God. You got to make some things happen. And so I've been disappointed many times with brothers saying they was going to help and what they was going to do, and they didn't do it. But these brothers came through, and they renewed my faith, and not only the FOI, but it renewed my faith in the reality that if we are separated, we will take care of the business and overcome any and all obstacles in our way. Okay? I've seen it with my own eyes, what these brothers did, and they did it with a smile on their face. And, okay, good, this is heaven. This is what it's going to be like. So they actually renewed my spirit by what they did. All praises due to Allah. Hopefully we're going to have an article. Maybe Brother William will do an article. I'll send him some information in the final call about that weekend. But that's all I wanted to report. I just wanted to say that I really now believe that the black man can be God again. And it won't be just talk and fluff, but it will be actual fact, actual work. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much, Dr. Ridgely, and hopefully you can be one of our panelists later on in the evening, because we're going to be joined, of course, by Brother Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad, who played such a critical role in the rebuilding of the Nation of Islam, and now, of course, is the international representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. And so, Brother Terrence, are you still open here? Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah, I'm definitely here.
Yes, sir. So are we expecting
We are definitely expecting him, and I'm reaching out to him now to make sure that he's coming on.
Okay.
But everything was a go, so I'm looking for him now.
I
guess while we're waiting, this, I'm going to go ahead and reach out again and make sure he's dialed in right. I would want to say, you know, if Doc could share just a little bit more about Founders Day, because they did the tour the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Footsteps of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They did some solar cooking. And, Doc, I just found a picture on Facebook understanding why I want to help you in another way, because I felt like a Hebrew slave down there. I got a picture of me with my Muhammad Farm shirt on, picking watermelons on the back of that truck, boy, and that's some serious work. And so when people talk about they want to build a nation and go for themselves, I was like, I hope y'all understand that means work in La La Land.
Well, they do understand, Brother Terrence, and that's why they run from me. They understand that it means work. But, you know, the Ministry of Agriculture has brought into my life a number of people whose word is bond. And this is why it's so important that we develop all the ministries, because that's where you're going to find the real nation builders, is those people in the ministries who's working shoulder to shoulder with you on projects that you can see from the beginning to the end, completion, not just talk, but actual fact. But back to Founders Day, Muhammad Farms Day, and that, yes, it was solar cooking. It had five solar ovens. And even though it was partly cloudy day, Sister Melva and her crew were able to cook Sister Ann's cream of wheat muffin mix in the half sun. I was worried about the clouds and everything, you know. But it was enough sunlight that they actually got it, and it was good, and it was well cooked. I said, "All praise due to Allah." And then we had the Junior FOI. The Junior FOI were part of a team of skilled FOI workers, who electricians, plumbers, carpenters, bricklayer, putting together a tiny house. And they had the Junior FOI involved with that process of putting together a tiny house, a livable house, not a playhouse, not a play toy, but a small house. And so I got a lot of good feedback from that. The people really love that idea to see the Junior FOI be doing something and being trained in how they can build. So in the future, as we build our communities, we're going to have some people who are ready to do it, because they loved it. And so, inshallah, we're going to get some skilled workers. Then, of course, we had the Muhammad Farms tour, where we took them around the farm on the back of a wagon pulled by the tractor. The people really enjoyed that, but, of course, they were so tired when they got back. You know, it was like, that was just riding. I said, but look, I got to farm this. Okay, so and then the next day, we went, of course, to the footsteps of the messenger, which we always start off with the church in Cordell. People, when they say the messenger, they say, "Oh, Sandersville." Was Sandersville a little town outside of Sandersville, 13 miles from Sandersville, called Deep Step, Georgia, was really where he was born and where his grandfather had a church, and that church is still there. And the graveyard is there with a lot of tools in the cemetery there. That's where we ended our footsteps. But we started with the church in Cordell that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's father taught at. And there are also a number of gravestones with pools in the back. And also that's where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad met Mother Clara Muhammad. See, people think, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his growing days, or making up days, he was made up in Cordell. Okay, from the time he was 2 years old until he left at 19 to go to Macon, and then from Macon he left and took his family to Detroit. But he grew up in Cordell, and that's where he saw a black man hung on a tree. That's where he saw a white man showed him the ear of a black man. And he went to school there, and we went to the site of the school where it has a plaque there commemorating the Hosea Cobb Institute, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad went to the fourth grade. And then from there we went to Macon, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad went to work in Macon at the Cherokee Brickyard. And he would walk from Macon back down to Cordell to bring his family the check. Then from there he went to at the railroad station. And the railroad station in Macon is where he finally left, took his whole family, and went to Detroit. But while we was there, we took a picture, the group picture, on the auction block that was standing in front of the railroad station. So you have the picture of in the 1860s, 1840s, black folks being brought down to Macon, to Georgia, on a railroad, and then auctioned off right in front of the railroad station. And it's still there. It doesn't say what it is, but we know what it is because we've seen a picture of something similar to it in another town, and the auction house. We just found this out, Minister Ava. There's at least two auction houses that was on the same street as the railroad terminal and as the auction block. So we're pinning this sucker down, all right, that this is a remnant of the reality that we lived in, and that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was how can I say, he hate white folk. And he had a right to hate white folk for what he saw that white folk did to black folk and what he knew.
Yeah.
So he was prepared to look for the Messiah and to accept the Messiah and to give his life to the then Messiah. Now we know it's the Mahdi. To give his life to him because he hated white folks for what they did. And now white folks are really upset because Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has told them that he's alive on the wheel, and they know if he's on the wheel, he go kill. So,
yes, sir.
That's my report. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam. Thank you, Doc. That's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. So, Sister Ava, I hear that we have the student national attorney, one of our executive council members, that is on the line. Do we have somebody like that on, Sister Ava?
Yes, but actually, Brother Arif is on to weigh in when
that's
brother,
the one I'm
minister,
talking about.
Right. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So if we wanted to, as we wait, because we did sort of abbreviate our opening for brother minister, we might want to go to the calls. I see Sister Donna Muhammad, our moderator for Project Separation, has a comment.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Wow.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Sister Donna, how are you, ma'am?
I'm good, thank Allah. How is everybody this evening? Happy to be on with the Elevated Places family.
So happy to have you on and looking forward to the upcoming July edition of Building Our Promised Land.
Yes, ma'am. July 19th. Be looking for a flyer soon. So I just wanted to call in and just take this opportunity to express my gratitude for our international representative, for the Minister Akbar Muhammad, our recording angel. I'm so excited about him being on tonight. I can't wait to hear what he says. And I just wanted to share how for me and my husband's honeymoon, we went to Africa on one of their tours. And it was on the occasion of the dedication of the Alex Haley Mosque. And it was so special because he had a party for us at his home. And he made an anniversary, a honeymoon cake for me and my husband. And there were participants that had birthdays, and he made cakes for them. And it was just an unforgettable experience. And if anybody wants to go to Africa and has never been, I mean, I highly advise going through that Adventure Africa. I think it's Travel and Tours, because of who he knows, what he does, what he represents. It made our trip just seamless. And so I'm ever grateful for everything that he does, but really for that opportunity in history. We met the seventh generation of Kunta Kinte's family on the island of Jufure and took pictures with them. And that's also where we discovered that is where my husband's family is. He looks just like everybody there. So I just wanted to express my gratitude for all that he's done, all that he's going to do, and for our little personal peace of that moment. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Donna. Greatly, greatly appreciate that. I think our sister has stepped away just for a moment, and she will be coming back on. But right now, we want to go ahead, and our guest is actually on. He has come on, and we thank God for him. And as you all know, he has just finished celebrating his 80th birthday. But our sister, we wanted to have him on last week, but Sister Ava wasn't on the show, and she did not want to bring him on without being on this show. with her brother. And so now we want to bring on our international representative for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Akbar Muhammad. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
Oh, go ahead. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry about the technical difficulties that we encountered. It was one button that I did not push. And when I pushed it, everything went through. Sister Ava, I want to thank you very much. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on your show that's listened to so widely across America and throughout the world. And what I want to say in the short time that I'll be on is about separation, which is something that I've talked about for years, but now it's right at our doorstep. I mean, we see it every day. You wake up to killing that's going on. And there's a book that I use in my lectures throughout the country and throughout the world called Cocaine Nation. And there's a section in the book about how they were given the slaves coca leaves. And I believe it's in the state of Louisiana. And the slaves could work for 12 to 18 hours with no food. So the coca leaves saved the slave master money. He didn't have to buy that much food, and the slaves worked much longer. And it was Halprin, who was, I think, a congressman or a lawyer working with the Congress, who warned the Congress about this. They said that what will happen as you continue to feed them this coca leaf and they work like that, they will begin to rape your women and do other things. And he persuaded them that they needed to discontinue that practice. But it shows how barbaric they were and how they treated us like animals, just like animals. And their main objective was to get all of the labor and work us to death if necessary to accomplish their goals. So I want to take time. There's a little book. I know you'll say, I've always got some book. This book was printed, I believe, in 1959. And in this book, it shows how the slaves were trying to decide whether they were going to lobby to stay in America and continue to serve the white man as a slave, or whether they were going to ask for freedom to go for themselves. The book is it's titled Liberia, Its People and Land. And it's out of print. I tried to get a couple of more copies, and they were $179. And they're not printing anymore, but the book is excellent because it talks about how the slaves, you know, were trying to figure out what were they going to do, were they going to stay or leave. So groups of delegations kept going back and forth to Liberia. A lot of this, you know, as much as I read history, I didn't know it, but they were going in groups. And they were trying to make a decision whether we should lobby to stay in Africa and build us a society there, or whether we should go back to America and continue to serve the white man. And if you can get the book, I was just looking to see what the publisher is. It makes a good read, especially for those who have groups that they're studying with. It's to save us that time that I got to put on glasses to do things.
Oh, tell me about it. Yes, sir.
the book was copyrighted by Mary Louise Crawford, it looks like here, in America, and they used the book throughout the school system. And the thing that really got to me, the names, when you read the names of those slaves they were going back and forth. This wasn't that they left America and went to Liberia or Sierra Leone or some other country, Guinea-Bissau. They were actually going back and forth trying to make a decision whether we would stay. And this is where that statement of Lincoln that you hear all the time, that Lincoln, if he had to make a decision, he would choose his people for the superior position. I mean, very clearly. And this book is about how the areas of the land. I went to Buchanan County on my last trip to Liberia. 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I spoke to the vice president of Liberia. And they are really looking for those who would take a bite and come to Africa. There's so much possibilities for us. We can either stay here and die and be shot down in the streets or continue to fill the jails with our brothers and sisters, or we can go for separation and build our own society. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan said, and we can, you can look at it in Torchlight for America. He made those comments in New Orleans. Sister Tucker, who was down on the lyrics and the hip-hop, she's since passed away. He was talking to her at the conference in New Orleans, and he said that we can go and build a new reality. And it doesn't mean everybody has to go. It means that those who are ready to take that step and prepare a way for those who are, you know, up to their necks and what is happening in America. And I mean, as we listen to this news and you wonder what these young white men who kill people across America, what do they talk about at the dinner table? And if you saw the news this evening, look at the father. The father was almost justifying what his son did. He helped him get the weapons and so forth. And he didn't, you know, say it's a shame, I feel bad for the people who lost their life. He didn't talk about that at all. And we have to look at it. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was preaching separation. We, a lot of us, paid lip service to separation, but we were not ready to do anything. Someone has to take the step and go forward. So I wanted to say that, and Sister Ava, the excellent job that you're doing talking about separation. And we have to get more of our student ministers and to read these publications when the people were talking about whether they were going to go to Central America, South America, or Africa, or somewhere else. And we have to talk about it real. Many of us don't want to leave. We're comfortable. You know, we got a white picket fence around the house, and it's not white. We paint it white so it'll fit the picture that we want to make. And we got two cars in the garage, two chickens in the pot, you know, and we got a job.
That's right.
And we may just want to be comfortable. And it's not, as the minister would say, nobody's asking you to go and build new buildings and, you know, you got to farm and dig soil. I mean, most of the infrastructure in all of those countries is already laid. All you got to do is put a hand to it and bring it up to the modern times. And so this is the challenge. And the minister has been talking on it lately more than ever because you see what is happening in the country. So I hope that there's like the study groups. We need to look at the study groups and make sure that we can answer the questions of the people who want to know about it, and that the study group help to understand it, not just words and me talking and other student ministers talking, but help them to understand what the dynamic is all about in terms of building this society. In Chicago, there's a novel. I mention it often because how Mr. White, who wrote this novel about separation, they had a referendum. And this referendum was to decide whether we were going to stay or go. And they wanted the black people to vote on it. The black people, they just felt that everybody was going to vote just to stay here in America. And to their surprise, the referendum turned out that more people wanted to leave America than those who wanted to stay. So this is in front of us.
Yes.
And this is what we're going to have to deal with. And I know that when what's going on in the streets, I know when the news hits, the people's mind flash right to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his student, Minister Farrakhan, who for years have been talking about this. Now we're going to have to move on it. So I thank you, Sister Minister Ava, for taking this subject and taking it around the country and how people, you know, digest it and how you talk about it, how you look at it. I've been blessed to go to, there's 54 African countries. I've been to 44 of them. I see the ones that have tremendous potential, the ones that are actually waiting for us to come and give them a helping hand and use the knowledge that we've gained in the years of being slaves in America and working to build his society, waiting for us now to go on and build our own society.
This is so profound. But you know what, Brother Minister Akbar, before we go further in the program, and I know a lot of people want to weigh in and want to speak with you, and we also invited Student Minister Abdul Arif Muhammad, our general counsel, on, because he was around back in the day. And
right.
I just think it's important it's important for our listeners to know that had the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan not stood up to restore the name and reputation of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and then to bring back and resurrect the dead nation, we wouldn't even be having this conversation today.
Right.
And there would not have been the level of consciousness, certainly, that exists among our people and our youth in particular, even in these dire straits. But I wanted to say to you, and I watched the tribute to your 80th birth anniversary, and all I could think of is, what would we have done without you? Because you enabled the minister to have the freedom to travel throughout this country and beyond that, the world, but especially to travel throughout America and to begin setting up these little seedlings, these study groups, and bring back what we see today. And many of our brothers and sisters that were not there decades ago when we were all meeting in the Final Call building on 79th and Emerald Avenue, and you serving then as the national assistant to Minister Louis Farrakhan, you handled teaching, you handled administration, you handled operation. And I remember when the minister was in the Middle East on that particularly controversial journey during the Reagan administration, and you would come back and forth while he was traveling the world from halfway across the world to check on what was going on at the home base. And so I just wanted to say to you, from me and my family, and I know many of us feel the same way, that all those who stand with not only registered Muslims, but the wide swath of the black community that loves Minister Farrakhan, we owe you a debt of gratitude. And in addition to all of your other skill sets is your teaching ability. You have that on top of everything else, because your lectures and the delivery and your deep interest and capability in bringing us history really help get us sufficiently rooted. And so now, you know, as you're saying, we're going to have to come out of this state of hesitation. And I found the same thing that you just spoke of, this presumption that our people, if presented with the choice, would choose to stay with the enemy of our fathers and the enemies of God and our enemies. I was amazed. I tell people when we went around the country on those town halls, 21 different cities, and black people from all walk of life, not a single person. And during the town hall, we would have the brothers and sisters come to the mic, and we have they were real town halls, not lectures. And right. I think the youngest speaker we had was 7 years old, and not a single person asked why. Not one. And our gatherings we had the Native Americans out in Phoenix. We have 400 people out in Phoenix, Arizona. We had the Latino brothers and sisters out in Los Angeles, San Diego, these different places, New York, St. Louis, Atlanta, Tampa, St. Petersburg, the Carolinas. We were all over the place. Detroit, no one ever asked. Philadelphia, one of the largest town halls, with student minister Rodney Muhammad in a church, because I insisted that all of them be held in someplace black owned. I didn't care what it looked like, what size it was, but we were not going in the white man's hotels to talk about separation. But no one asked why. They only wanted to know how. And the only fear that was expressed was that we would be isolated and be under attack. And that was quickly cleared away with the fact that the we're being massacred in their midst, okay? So right. We don't have any choice. And Allah, God, will protect us if we obey him and come out of her, my people, as he told us, then
yes.
He will respond to us. But we're in a state of disobedience. We, like you said, we found this little, like I heard one brother say, some of us find this little oasis in America, and we want to stay there. And that is not God's will. But I just wanted to inject that.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
So
and I think we're – go ahead, sir.
Some of the questions on separation. And
yes, sir.
Those who started the separation, you know, Martin Delaney, there was a man named Kofi, they called him. Probably is a corruption of Kofi. They started the early days talking about whether we should head back to Africa and whether we could make it in Africa now. And with the building skills and so forth, there's no doubt in my mind that we could make it. But it would be better to separate and go through those small battles than to put ourselves at the mercy of the slave master. I mean, you got to think of, he raped our women, abused our children, all of that he did. And we want to stay here because we think that he's going to change. He's going to be different. And once you humble yourself and say, I want to stay with you, boss, then he's going to be even worse. So we have to make up our mind, and we can do it. We got the ability to do it. The skills that we got, doctors, lawyers, engineers, you know, every skill that you can think of that you use to build a nation or society, we possess those skills by our labor for this enemy. And so we got to make a move now. It's our time. I mean, you know, I think about this, Sister Ava. The minister started rebuilding. He reached his hand down into the mud and the muck and the mire where the white man had buried us, reached down and pulled out brothers and sisters, cleaned them up. They were ready to stand up and build a society, clean up their lives, you know, move away from alcohol and drugs and all of the madness that we engaged in. And we were going to build a society, but it was like building a new people. That's what Sekou Touré was trying to do in Guinea. He wanted to build a new man, a new woman, and we have the same opportunity to do it, and it's needed now more so than ever. You got to start, you know, that old saying, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step, and that's what we got to look at in my opinion.
So we're blessed that you are able to straddle these two continents. You know, I wish people really fully could appreciate that, you know, you're like the real life manifestation of the image of Muhammad speaks with the two black men reaching out to one another across this Atlantic. And Dr. Ridgely, Muhammad, you know, our student minister of agriculture, who's with us tonight, he's been doing a series on the African nations. And I always say black Africa because, you know, there's a lot of white people that they're Africans, you know. But the resistance of black Africa to this COVID vaccine that was largely brought about by the minister's unequivocal call to them in front of the whole world, you know, telling the leadership of the African nations not to allow that vaccine. And there's a video clip of Bill Gates on YouTube where he is showing he is frustrated. It's just a little short. He's with this group of some of his cohorts, and I don't think he meant for it to be interpreted by black people the way it was. He's not understanding. He has a 6-ounce brain, and we're wiser than them, and their time is up. But he made a statement to this little group that it was unfortunate that it was not the vaccine that ended the pandemic. It was the Omicron variant of COVID-19 that brought about herd immunity in Africa. And he was bemoaning the low percentage people in the African nations who had taken the jab. And now on top of that, Brother Ridgely's been writing about the rejection by 47 leaders of African nations of this, what was it called, Brother Ridgely? But the effort was to led by the United States. I won't say United.
World Health Organization.
Yes. The World Health Organization, who they were, and I won't say the United States, I'll say the Biden administration, some Republicans, some white Republicans stood up and said, we're not going to give up the sovereignty of the United States, because they wanted WHO to permanently be able to determine what is the pandemic, when does it start, when does it end, what does it consist of, you know, all of that. So your presence and your travels on the African continent have been crucial to what's about to go down now. I'll put it like that.
Yeah. You know, the minister mentioned it once. I don't think I heard him mention it again, but he was telling us, and I was there to witness this, that Gaddafi was turning out his own vaccines and medicine. You know, they're getting their medicine from Europe, and they stopped that and got his scientists to begin to produce their own medicine so that they could know what was in the medicine. And then the same thing in Zimbabwe, because we were taking medicine to Zimbabwe, and they wouldn't let it in the country until their scientists, you know, inspected the medicine and made sure that it was clear, not bringing or introducing something into their society. And this is one of the reasons they wanted to get rid of the leader of Zimbabwe and also the leader of Libya, because those were the two leaders who were producing their own medicine for their own people.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And Sister Ava, I wanted to jump in here if possible. It's very interesting that he said that, because California is talking about, producing its own insulin for their population in California and not doing anything with the state, but that's a whole other conversation. I just wanted to just thank Brother Akbar, because one of the things that you said about him representing the minister across the world is that I don't think sometimes we understand that when he does that, he actually has opened the minds of not only us in the nation, but everyone, because Brother Akbar goes over to the continent like he's going across the street, like he's going to the next state or going here. But he does it to show us that that's what they do, and they do it. They don't have a limitation with, quote-unquote, borders. So when he says 44 countries, like, how is that possible? It is possible if you just do it. And we never had the idea. We never had the concept of going across the country and seeing other things, and we still – conscious or unconscious, still have an image of what Africa is, what the development of Africa is. We still have this mystery Africa, mostly jungle. So I went to Cape Town a couple of years back, and when I got there, I was like, hold on, am I in San Francisco? And then I had my colonized thoughts, because I had to go to a conference, and I called the lady that set it up, and I had to get my president where he needed to be. I said, well, how am I going to get there? Y'all, you know, I'm thinking, are y'all going to pick me up? She said, no, just get an Uber. I was like, Uber? What you mean, Uber? You know, I'm up here thinking, oh, y'all got Uber? Yes, we got Uber. And you know, I'm just saying, right. But the Brother Akbar shows us the beauty of Africa, shows us that we should not only travel to Africa, but Brother Akbar shows us about our global aspect and how we should do global things. And the small things that I recognize about Brother Akbar, he makes sure, like, every time I'm talking to him, we are saving the national convention, he's always making sure logistics is okay. He's making sure this is okay. He's making sure certain people in place. Minister Akbar is very careful about the minister's friends that he makes for the minister and the significance of the people that he introduced, that he brings to Savior's Day, he brings to national events. He's making so many ties to for us on the international and on the national stage, that he gives their history, he gives their importance, and he shows the relationship with Minister Farrakhan and all these world leaders and all these significant people that we may not even have ever known if Brother Akbar didn't tell the story of his international trips, as well as us. And I got many DVDs, and I think I got some VHS, Brother Akbar telling the history of the nation. It's so much rich history. Even when you talked about the Final Call building, Sister Ava, and we had Brother Arfo here talking about it, there's so much history in the beginning and the building of what Minister Farrakhan did and what Minister Akbar did in just this building. So for him to take this now internationally is something powerful. And like you say, I don't think sometimes we really even understand what he is doing, what he has doing, has been doing, going crisscrossing, literally crisscrossing the world.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, I thank the minister for giving me an opportunity to represent him. My brother called me and said he was looking at a former, and he was at a conference somewhere in the world, and I was introducing the minister, and before the minister came up, I introduced all of the heads of states and the foreign ministers who were on the stage, and the respect that they gave us as a nation. Most people don't want to recognize us as a nation, but imagine we built that in America from nothing. And I would like to humbly suggest that our brothers and sisters who helped the minister in the building of the final call and then acquiring, you know, Mas Maryam, that all of those who were not Muslims and they came to our aid. I can't forget one of the brothers who came to our study groups there at Haki's place. He ended up being the director of a school in the Caribbean. And when he saw us, he was so happy because that was his beginning. And so those that worked with the minister, Asiel, I understand, has some health challenges that he's battling now, you know, pretty severe. But they helped us. You know, we may have some differences here and there, you know, but that's all right. That's the nature of life. Indeed, but these brothers and sisters actually came forward. Right. They gave us donation. They helped us to get people for our Savior's Day convention. And so when you get a chance, and those of you who have contact, just say, I just remembering you. And I want to say thank you for your labor, your work, and supporting our minister. You didn't agree on everything, but you knew what he was doing was more important than dilly dallying with small things. You know, the old saying we used to have in the early days, I got bigger fish to fry. And that's what we should say today, to hold some door open of something that you did to me 20 years ago. And I still got that in my throat. And we can't make progress and move to the next step because I'm holding on to it. One of my favorite sayings was that, you know, if you can't understand having a small bone in your throat and how it's choking you, then you don't understand the greater world. You got to get that out of your sight, push it to the side. And people used to always say, I got a big fish to fry. Let me go and fry these bigger fish because we got a society to build. We got the brothers and sisters who are ready to help us. They want their guidance. We are blessed to have the minister in front of us. So let's go on and do it. Of course, I'm going to take a word from Barack. Barack said there will be some shortcomings, there will be some mistakes, and there will be some steps that we wanted to go forward, but we couldn't. But it doesn't mean that we stop and give up. We keep pushing ahead. I believe that Allah is with us. We are with Allah's man. There's no doubt. I mean, Allah puts him out front, and I don't care what the circumstances is, Allah blesses him to go through and come out the winner on the other side. So.
Yes, sir. I want to mention, we've got a lot of people lined up, but we also have our brother, General Counsel, Student Minister, Abdul Arif Muhammad on the line, joining us tonight and having this little, this is sort of a post-celebration of you, Brother Akbar. So, Brother Arif, your line is open, sir, for your comment tonight.
Well, thank you, Sister Minister and Dr. Ava. Assalamu alaikum to everyone. And to our brother, Minister Akbar, we certainly don't have enough time to go over the great contribution that he made to this nation. Many, you know, the flyer said a recording angel, and he is that as designated by the minister, because many people forget the 20 or so years or how many years he was writing these journals of the minister's activities when he was his assistant in New York in Mosque number 7. So there's a whole body of knowledge that Brother Akbar has, that we got to work somehow to bring it to light, because it's a history that we have to know about those great days in New York when Mosque Number 7 was just by any standard, if you would imagine, I think 17 or 18 places where Islam was being taught in the city, all of the schools, four major schools, I mean, businesses and the sales of the Muhammad speech, just, and then, of course, the ministers just being a leader in that city among the people.
Yes.
It's so much. And, of course, there's the transition period that Brother Akbar also had a very important part in, as things transitioned from there into then the period of him and the minister reconnecting as they began the process of a journey towards the rebuilding of the nation. And Brother Akbar on the book Closing the Gap, his pictures there with the ministers, I think. Were you all in Egypt then, Brother Akbar, at that time?
Yes.
On that
yes.
picture in yes. Egypt. And they were all in Africa early back then, in the late 70s, and the whole story of how the minister maneuvered and came to how he was able to extricate himself very wisely, and how Brother Akbar was with him. And then there's so much in that, Brother Akbar, that is so pregnant with need to be understood. And then, of course, the work in the rebuilding. And I'm talking about the work of rebuilding from the start of 78, when the minister, well, 77, actually, when the minister, September, decided to rebuild and start teaching. And I was a little youngster of about 22 in early part of 79, around March or April, and encountered the minister. But in those early days, as Sister Abel was saying, we didn't really engage the minister like that. I was blessed to actually get to meet the minister one-on-one through Acklin Lynch when he came to Baltimore. But in the early grind of this work, you dealt with Brother Akbar. That's who you dealt with. You didn't deal with the minister in that way. The minister was doing what he was doing, but it was Brother Akbar that was basically the organizer. He was basically the one that dealt with the student ministers. And I always would tell him, I'm one of the early Savior's days, I'll never forget, we were having a major student ministers meeting that Brother Akbar would lead the student ministry and a class. And he talked to us in terms of the work that we were about to embark on. Now, this is early 80, 81, maybe 82 at the latest, but he said to us then, he said, there are people that are born on this planet. They live, they do their work, they die. And no one ever knew that they were here except the small circle that they're in. He said, we have an opportunity to make our mark. You have an opportunity to make your mark by doing a work that would distinguish yourself far beyond you as an individual. And he then asked a question to us who was in the student ministry. You know, will you accept that challenge? And, I'm happy to say someone like student minister Ava accepted that challenge. I accepted that challenge. We've been on this road for these four decades plus. And Brother Akbar really, what is it? How many years now, Brother Akbar? 60? How many years is it for you now?
60.
Yeah, 60. So there's so much history that we must preserve. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about, that history is the most attractive and qualified to reward our research. And the history of this nation and its rebuilding, Brother Akbar likes to quote books. I'm just going to cite one little quick book by Matthias Gardell. in the name of Elijah, Louis Farrakhan, and his Nation of Islam. And he came closest in my mind, Brother Akbar, as a white man, but not of the white mind of white supremacy, to try to give a comprehensive view of the nation from the time of the messenger and the transition, and of course now into the rebuilding. And of course, one of the other great books that most people don't know is about the Nation of Islam. It's called Black Nationalism by E.S.E.N. Udom, who everybody hails C. Eric Lincoln, Black Muslims in America, but E.S.E.N. Udom really had a lot more engagement and he really had a really in-depth understanding of the nation, because he was in Chicago working on his doctorate, and he had access directly to the messenger and spoke to many of the major ministers of that day. So all of this is the history, and Brother Akbar is a part of that, and I hope and pray, Brother Akbar, that you get somebody to work with you, because what you have in terms of this knowledge really needs to be preserved for the future of the nation, that we can see the path that was trod historically. And so you are that valuable person, and I'm always thankful to you, you know, as a young student coming into this work and what you had meant to me. And I remember when we went to Coppin. Coppin was where I met the minister the first time in 79, and we brought the minister back, I think, maybe 18 months later, if it was that long. And you remember, Brother Akbar, we had to put speakers outside. The place was so jam-packed. But Brother Akbar, he was hands-on with everything. He was the director. You know, he handled it. I mean, he handled that business. I'm just telling you, this is how we work to build this nation. So you know, we have a treasure in him, and we thank Allah for him and continue to pray Allah for his strength and health. But Brother Akbar, we got to get this legacy, this history, where it's accessible for the future. Love you. Thank you for the opportunity to share a few
words.
Thank
you. Thank you for your word. Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for your words. Thank you.
This is awesome. We're going to have a series, because my mind is racing, and I want to go to some of our callers, but I have to say this too. And I think Brother Arif and I were talking about this recently, you know, and you just noted, Brother Akbar, about the recent, you and Sister Attorney Pamela, the recent brutal, horrendous murder of our young brother in Akron. And now you have this young white male, and I'll be honest, I was so relieved to learn he is not only white, but he's from that community. And many people don't know that this Highland Park, Illinois, is one of those little towns in the area they call the North Shore. Very affluent. The money is flowing up there, and that's where you'll find those big mansions on Lake Michigan and all of that. But you and I had the same reaction to the father. The father of this killer just seems almost insulted and offended that he should even have to answer questions. And the lawyer, insulting and offensive. But we were talking about this takeover too, of all of the homosexuality, the white women out here fighting with a sprinkling of black women, but getting our young sisters to go and have their pregnancies terminated because they don't comprehend, you know, what they're doing. And I watched a reporter go among these same people that were out on behalf of abortion, but when asked whether the it was lawful in their mind to force vaccines on people, they did a complete 180. But I think one of the things missing that was present in the early days of the nation and why we made such incredible progress in such a short amount of time, and then we just sort of leveled off, and of course this is pre-internet, pre-social media, was the black male authority and the emphasis on marriage and family. And I remember you, I remember Brother Akbar, I remember when I came in the nation in New York, number 7, under Minister Abdul Karim Muhammad, Lynn Ward X in those days. But there was emphasis. You had peer pressure as well as pressure from the ministry to as a man that you need to get your act together and take a wife, and you used to teach on that, Brother Akbar. And we had families, we had Muslim families, okay,
right.
Some of them exceedingly large, and
right.
If we had maintained that and kept that together as the generations passed, we began to lose our people because, to your point, we weren't moving out on separation. And as late as Justice or Else, where the minister begged black people to at least start building a safe and make your own community a safe and decent place to live. And like Brother Terrence said, you know, we don't move out like white folks move out on their agendas. And one thing, and we think we have disagreements. You point to any country where there's no black people, they're slaughtering each other. Okay.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to bring up that point too, that with Brother R, speaking of your influence, but that strong male presence, the black man, you know, no equivocation, none of this weak stuff that we see today, you know, that is creating hostility and contempt. And then the women are out here, yes, we can be professionals, we can do whatever we want, but God knows what he's doing. He knows how to make a man and a woman. You don't need to help him and tell God he made a mistake. And you sound crazy. But back in those days, everything was clear. It was straight and to the point. And yet, the way you spoke was always very engaging. And I can't thank you enough that I'm so glad I came in under you, under Abdul Karim Muhammad, Minister Abdulallah Muhammad, and those ministers who stood up. I, as a young Muslim, I didn't know of the drama, the behind-the-scenes challenges that you all were facing from hypocrites and adversaries and, you know, all that was going on. It did not show itself, but I just wanted to say that.
Thank you,
Sister A.
Thank you. Well said.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Pamela.
I just want to say this.
Yes, ma'am.
Go right ahead,
Brother Akbar.
No,
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Pamela.
Yes, Pamela.
Sir. Yes, sir. And I want to thank you so much for just a blessing and an honor to be able to work with you, and congratulations on your 80th birth anniversary. During the time I was able to work in my time at MOS 28 in St. Louis, you know, just watching you, as Sister Ava was saying, you know, dignity, you always were, you know, just so dignified, and anytime we would bring in friends and people in the community, they were just always so impressed with your knowledge and your tact and your diplomacy. I just wanted to say that because I was able to witness, and you even taught some of us how to be better at community building and outreach and building amongst groups, you know, and building on that least common denominator, even though we may not agree across the board, you know, but your diplomatic skills were always so beautiful to watch. So I wanted to thank you and, you know, just praise make you. Those comments. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise
thank
the Lord.
You so much.
Thank you,
thank you.
Praise be to Allah. All right, we've got, we have so many people. I know people are mad at me. we have Brother Asa is on with a comment. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, family. First and foremost, I'd like to give honor to Master Farad Muhammad for coming into our lives to wake us up as people and raising up the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, obedient servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And those three mighty, mighty, mighty men in God, men of God, I would like to say assalamu alaikum to the staff, elevated places, Brother Akbar, and also I would like to show my appreciation to the Executive Council for doing such an excellent job of leading our nation. With that being said, I remember as a child, in mosque number 28, right before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed our company, you were the minister there. And I remember you coming downstairs where the children was at, and I remember that ever since. In addition, I'm also the son of Brother Shahab X. Dumas.
Yes.
You may or may not be. I'm his son. However, I would like to say the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has allowed me to continue to strive to be the person that I am. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as best as I possibly can, here in the wilderness of North America. In addition, I am a new farmer. Dr. Ridgely, I understand. You must, and one thing I keep trying to do.
Well, you're breaking up, and something's wrong. I didn't know if you had a question or comment, but you're going in and out, so we can't hear you right now.
And maybe you can call back in. Because you're going out, beloved. But we thank you so much for your call. Really appreciate you. Okay, we're going to go to Brother Cartier. And Brother Akbar, Brother Cartier, who's still in his 20s, is one of our real, I'm going to call him a point man, along with Sister Donna Muhammad on Project Separation, and, of course, Sister Rona Muhammad. And he's a police officer and has some real deep insight in the separation. He's in, I think you're in Harvey, Brother Cartier. Is that correct?
Assalamu alaikum. You know, I may have switched over. I'm out there in Country Club Hills now. I lateraled over
a
couple
right.
months
ago. I recall that now. Yeah, Country Club Hills. But I'm sorry, Brother Cardi. I just wanted to make sure, Brother, give Brother Akbar a little introduction. You all may have met him already, but I wasn't sure.
Now, I've spoken to Brother Akbar before sometime last summer regarding his book, and I just wanted to thank him. First of all, wish him a happy birthday. I hope Allah blesses him with many more. And I wanted to thank him for his book, Africa in the World, And I really wanted to encourage us who, if we haven't already, to get that book, because Brother Arf was talking about the legacy and work of Brother Akbar Muhammad and the things that he has done in this country as well as on the African continent. And a lot of it has already been transcribed in this book. And we really get a chance to see the top-level diplomat and foreign minister that this brother Akbar is, how he facilitated the travel and movement of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his delegation all throughout the continent from the, like he was saying, the late 70s, throughout the 80s, throughout the 90s, the 2000s. The service, his dedicated service is invaluable. And I just wanted to thank him for that and encourage us to, if we haven't already, get that book and read it. Because it's really an eye-opener, not just to the capacity that the nation is viewed internationally, but so that we get a chance to really be able to see what capacity Allah has blessed us to have right in our midst, and Brother Akbar and those who have served with him. But I wanted to, if I'm able, just pose a question to Brother Akbar, because we had intended to do a master class with him sometime last summer, and then our schedules had conflicted and we weren't able to get it done. But one of the questions that was going to be asked on that master class, I wanted to pose it to Brother Akbar, and maybe if he had time to address it tonight or at some other to address it. One of the questions was, throughout the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's tenure as the national representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and traveling all throughout the African continent, making friends for us, how can we use those relationships that he has made for us through his support of their independence to put our plight for separation of independence here in the States on an international platform, so that it'll be harder for the United States government to kind of shut that down since it transcends domestic lines. If he could just speak to that.
Right. Thank you very much for your question, my brother. First, I want to say I'm using Jerry John Rawlins, who was the president and chairman of the party that ruled Ghana. And there was the Seventh-day Adventists or Jehovah Witnesses. He didn't allow them to establish their meeting places in Ghana at first. He eventually opened it up. But when I talked to him, one of the reasons was that they had a belief system that they would not swear to any other flag or stand up for any other flag. And Rawlins said,
right,
this is your, and if your country has to fight and we have to defend our country, we can't say that you should sit on the side. And
that's
eventually
right,
he let him open up again. And this was after we were there. And then the same thing with the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. The Mormons had the same belief that they should not fight for the country of Ghana, though it's their country of birth. And eventually he met with them and allowed them to go ahead and build a church there. But everybody understood where he was coming from. This is your country. We have to fight and defend it and so forth. So you can't compare it with us in America. It's a little different. But that's a good question, my brother. And I really respect Rawlins for that. I was just looking at a picture book they just made of him. And the thing that I'm touched by, Rawlins loved the minister. And when that 25,000 people were in the square on one of our Eids in Ghana. And I'll never forget his words. He talked about, and he was the first president to address an Eid gathering of the Muslims. They had other officials and people who spoke, but the president. And he said to that audience, 25,000 plus people, He said, you know, the Muslims, you know, he's a very frank person. You know, the Muslims that I really like, he said, those Muslims that are with Farrakhan. And I mean, the place was still. He said, I like to be in those Muslims. And he opened so many doors for us. He was a great loss to us, but he knew that there was something different about those Muslims that come under Farrakhan's banner. And he wanted everybody there to know. He talked about the cleanliness. He talked about the our deportment, how we handle ourselves with other people and so forth. And it was a great honor. It warmed my heart to see that kind of respect for our leader. And he opened the door for us to have that Savior's Day in Ghana. He took me to the African Union meeting in his private plane. He gave his plane to the minister to go to countries in Africa. He sent us to Burkina Faso, called the leader there and said, I got a brother I want you to meet, Brother Farrakhan. So many things that these leaders recognize in the minister's ability to touch the hearts of people and to get people away from what the white boy had said in front of them. Excuse that low expression, but he took us away from all of that and made us a different kind of people. And Rollins recognized that. Thank you for the question. I'm sorry the answer is so long.
Yes. No, that's,
yes.
That was insightful. Oh, Allah. This is a blessed evening. And thank you, Brother Cartier. All right, we're going to go to one of our famous regular callers. Sister Ula has a comment.
As-salamu alaykum, Sister
Ula. Alaykum salam.
Alaykum salam, Sister Ava. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me? All praise to Allah.
Yes.
Because this is something.
Yes,
Allah. Yeah. How you doing, Sister Ava? Okay.
I'm fine, ma'am. Praise be to Allah.
Praise to Allah. I have something in my mind Allah shared with me that I wanted to share with the listeners. All these shootouts, people are just going insane and killing up people. They never say that these people were vaccinated. But I'm wondering, you know, because the minister warned, yes, ma'am, the minister warned us not to take the vaccine. And all weird, strange things that people are doing all the way up and down the social ladder, I wonder, because now if somebody does something that they don't like, they say, well, they weren't vaccinated. You know how they are. But they never mention whether these people that have just go into a crowd and shoot up a bunch of people, they never tell you that these people have been vaccinated. But time will tell. I just wanted to share that with you, and I thank Allah for both these great men, Brother Ara and Brother Abdul. I don't want to, I want other listeners to come in. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, beautiful call. Well, alaikum salam. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. That is so insightful. I was talking, my husband and I have been talking about that. And, of course, it's kept, the vaccines are never mentioned. But you hear about all of these, especially if you read the COVID section of the Final Call newspaper, thousands, literally thousands of athletes dead, injured, harmed. Then you have these celebrities who are living a lively, healthy life and go get a vaccination, and then all of a sudden they're out of here. And
yes.
I remember hearing last year the president of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, who was in her 50s and was very healthy and vibrant, promoting the vaccine, promoting it, as many of our poor people do. The house servants, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad calls them, prominent house servants. pushing and pushing the vaccine. She goes and gets the shot and dropped dead shortly thereafter. So,
yeah.
but it's all coming to surface. It's starting to come out now. Praise be to Allah. But that could, if somebody's already mentally imbalanced, you know, think, because there's a lot of research showing neurological problems, heart problems, everything you can imagine that people develop.
Well, you know, Minister Ava, the fact that the Africans didn't take the shots, now we have a real experiment that we should keep up with the data on changes of behavior between the African people who did not take the shot and the rest of the world, in particular America and Israel and the Europeans, that took the shots. And then let's make a comparison what the changes are. This is science. They talk about following the science. Well, here we have a chance. But still, Israel and America wants to force the Africans to take the shot. Leave the Africans alone. They weathered all the COVID storms without the shot. So let's leave them alone. Let's observe them and compare them to those countries that did take the shot. And now we have a real experiment that we can really see. But I guarantee you they're not going to allow the Africans to not take the shot, because they got to get them to take the shot, because that's who the shot was made for. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam.
Alaykum salam.
Good point.
The tribe
I'd like to say
of
this. I'd like to say this. Minister Akbar, you know, you cannot measure the significance of what Minister Akbar has done over the years in cementing that relationship between the Africans and the diaspora. So he's low-key, but what he has done by making those ties. And so when Minister Farrakhan speaks to those presidents, you know, they hear Akbar as his second mouthpiece on that. You know, so thank you, Brother Akbar, for opening that door for the minister and keeping those contacts with our African brothers.
Oh, praise to Allah.
Yeah, we can't fully appreciate you. You know, I'm thinking, listening to Brother Ridgely, you know, one of the things Brother Darius loves about you, Brother Akbar, and the minister, that both of you do, that we should all learn from, you always express appreciation and acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Dr. Ridgely, brother, I've seen Brother Minister Akbar. He'll come back from travel, okay? And as we all know, I mean, this man has been everywhere, okay? And I remember back in the 80s, him calling the minister. He's at some pay phone in an airport, and he's like, well, Sister Ava, I'm in a hurry. You know, I need to catch this flight. Okay, I need to speak with the minister this day. So, but Brother Akbar said, and Brother Darius can do you. He can sound like you, Brother Minister. You say, oh, there's Brother John and Sister Mary in the audience. And I remember when we were traveling in this country or that country, or we were in it could be in America, in the Carolinas or some remote place, and we had gotten off the plane. We didn't have any transportation to get to our destination. And this brother and sister came in their car, brought their children with them, picked us up, fed us. We would be in a huge gathering, but they will stop, both of them. They remember names. They remember faces. It's just something that is, you know, this is who Black people are when we're ourselves.
Mm.
And that's great. What I love about the nation, because you get a taste of who we really are. We just have to make it permanent. That's all.
You know, and Dr. Ava, I wanted to.
Yes, sir.
No, I just wanted to uplift something that Brother Cartier brought up, and, you know, and the connections that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has made for us as Brother Akbar, the question is, are we ready to receive the relationships and friendship they made for us?
Mm,
are we ready to interact with the relationships that we have built, you know, or do we go and not only we have the relationship, but can we maintain those relationships? Or do we mess up the relationship that we built, not only here, but internationally? So when we go there, what is our representation? If they see one thing, like you said, President Jerry Rawlins saw something in us, do we represent that when we go? You know, do we show that? And are we really able to do real international business when, you know, it is time? Because they're looking at us in a different way. We're not looking to do some mom and pop stuff. They're really looking to do some international trade and business with us.
Right.
So once we make those relationships, how do we really utilize the relationships that we've gotten that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has made for us?
Yes. That is a good question. Briefly, I want to say that is more important, because once the minister opens the door, and he definitely opens doors, some of you may have heard me say this, when I was installed, being made a chief of a village in Ghana, near Cape Coast, the head of ceremony to install me, and now you're Chief Akbar. And so in the crowd, it was a huge crowd right near Cape Coast. And so when they asked me to speak, I got up, I spoke, and then one of the chiefs shouted out. He said, "We have your first assignment, Brother Akbar. Your first assignment is to get Minister Farrakhan back to Ghana." And boy, that place lit up. I told the minister about it. And so I'm saying that to say, if the minister opens the door, and he does open the door, the presidents, I just think of all of them, that I can't think of one that had a, with meeting the minister or wanting to meet him, I just can't think of one. I can think of one that was a little cool because he was trying to get close to America, and he felt that if he got too close to the minister, he may lose an opportunity to get next to his enemy. So, but that crowd lit that place up. And, you know, the minister hadn't been to Ghana in a long time, but look how his name is entrenched in that society. And really, really something beautiful.
That's powerful.
And I hope that Brother Adima filmed that part of those people cheering of my first assignment to get him back. So.
Yes, sir. Ooh, I pray Allah. Yes, sir. Okay, we're winding down here, but we can take a few more calls and comments. We've got Brother Louis Ali, who we call the separator, because he is consistent and constant on that point and living it. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Louis.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava Muhammad and Dr. Brother Akbar, the elevated place of staff. Happy Earth Day, good brother. How y'all doing?
Fine.
I wanted to thank you so much, Minister Akbar, for all of your work and for all of your encouragement and for helping to show us what a diplomat and statesman-like language looks like on the national and international scene. A lot of times we want to represent the teachings and we want the teachings to be strong, but we just don't have the right words. And you and Dr. Ava Muhammad do an incredible amount to help younger Muslims and young Muslims with diplomacy sticking to our points. I do have a question. When I joined the nation in 1991, there was a very forward and direct way of teaching, and it really attracted my mind to the nation, and we were laser focused on being a nation at that time out, you know, very, very overt. You're either with it or you're not. In light of what has become with the society today, where young people are looking at Saucy Santana on BET or Lil Nas X, it almost seems like it's a militant homophile assault where they're socially engineering our people, taking them farther away from black identity and make and almost erasing their sexual identity. Do you think that we need a more blunt and direct approach, or is it any advice that you could give younger Muslims on how we separate from the filth and indecency and get our people who want to come into a nation of righteousness and decency? Is there any wisdom you could give us on that? And I'll just listen, and I appreciate y'all. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Alaykum salam. Yes. My brother, I'll go first, very short and to the point, is that the thing about cleaning our people up, which is like unbelievable. And when I say cleaning them up, we were in all kind of lifestyles. And we didn't ask those who, that they wanted to join the nation. We didn't ask them about their lifestyle. They didn't have to go to no confessional box. But the strength of that word to clean them up and to think what they were yesterday, one of the stories that I tell all the time is about a brother in New York in 1963 named Arvin. He had been using drugs for, I believe it was 32 or 22 years. He gave his mother a fit. He was from Brooklyn. So I met him, and I took him to the meeting. And he brought his mother the next week. And one day I was at the mosque doing something, and I saw his mother and his father, and they were dressed up, and they said that we joined the nation. And the mother came to me, Sister Agnes, I'll never forget her. She said that, yes, I joined the nation. Anything or anybody that could clean my son up after these 22 years that I battled with him over drugs, he was shooting heroin. That was the popular drug in New York at that time. She said, it must be right. And she said, I'm a Muslim, Brother Larry, as she called me. And, so I'm just saying to your question that the power of the word, knowing the power of the word brought you out of that world, and it has the ability to bring
That's
others
right.
out. And you got to use it to look at our people. And I mean, the brothers used to say four squares and all of that. But you look at the people, what they were before and what they became after they accepted this word. So that's proof of the pudding is in the eating. And you see that MGT and that FOI, what they have become since they joined the Nation of Islam, it's like a miracle.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brother
Thank
Lewis,
you.
Because it, you know, I love giving the opportunity to go back to what I call, and I've heard others refer to as fundamental Islam. You know,
Amen.
One thing I see nowadays is we get so, you know, we're so busy intellectualizing everything. And
yes.
just, you know, just take the back of the paper. Just, you know, I find black people most responsive to the truth when it's plain, simple, in your face.
Amen.
Right.
You know, all of this devil's education has and that's what I meant earlier by just straight black masculinity, black femininity, a black woman who's a woman, a black man who's a man. You know,
Amen.
Husbands, wives, fathers, children, neighbors, community. That's who we are. You know, right. It's like I think Dr. Bridges said a few minutes ago, leave black folks alone. That's where we are at that point in history. And we have got to just get up and go for self. We've been thoroughly taught for well over 90 years that everything that's been taught has been confirmed. And I think one of the most powerful events in recent history was, again, you know, the minister calling the COVID vaccine death before the thing even came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was 6 months before the thing was deployed, and he's telling us, don't take it. Then he pivots and tells Alan Dershowitz, the national spokesperson for the vaccine, you know, if you try to force us, because he had been running around saying the state has the power to push the needle in your arm.
That's right.
And he was getting away with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only person challenging him was Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he's
right.
running around saying, and the minister stepped to him and said, yeah, you come this way. You come this way with your army. and that's what attracts our people is the fight. I mean, that's what attracted me to the nation is separation, do for self, and not afraid to say I'm black, happy to be black, not trying to justify and explain it. You know, but hey, I thank Allah that I got some melanin. How about that? Okay.
Come on.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we got to get back to the plain, unadulterated word.
That's right.
And right. stop trying to intellectualize and strange doctrines and all this stuff coming in and the white explanations of stuff. Just leave all that alone. I agree.
Well,
like the woman said, you could bring my son off drugs for 20 years. There's something going on here, okay?
That's right. That's all I need to know. Come on.
That's the point. I don't need anything. I don't need rocket science. And I remember I had a law professor at Georgetown who said, when the judge comes back with a decision that's long and complex, he's been bought.
That's right.
Because this is a Jewish professor in law school, Sherman Cohn. I never forget. He said, because truth is simple and plain.
Yes.
Listen.
Amen.
But we've got, we're winding down. We got about 6 minutes left, and we want to get Brother Daryl, who's another one of our regular callers, Brother Minister Akbar. Brother Daryl?
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum. Making sure we get you in.
Wa alaikum salam, family. How are you doing, Sister Dr. Ava and Brother Terrence and Brother Akbar and Brother Ridgely? I thank Allah for the brothers that helped you with the pipe. May Allah continue to bless them. Brother Akbar, you are definitely a jewel to the Nation of Islam. I've been growing up watching. I was born and raised in the nation, and I watched four captains come in right after the messenger departed. Was Brother Frank, Brother Khaled, and Brother Sharif, now Brother Brother, yes. And I noticed, you know, that you are a walking history, because I noticed when I first started hearing you, you always speak about books, reading books. You say you embedded that in your daughters, yeah. and that's one beauty of you that I love, because you love knowledge, and you are definitely a walking history to the nation and the minister, and that you have been blessed, and may Allah continue to bless you, Brother Akbar, with many, many, many more years, because you are very valuable to us in the Nation of Islam. And may Allah continue to bless you, Brother Akbar. I love you, and there's nothing you could do about it. And I wish I had the happy birthday song going with Stevie Wonder, but you are well loved. May Allah continue to bless you and your family.
I'm humbled by what I'm hearing on this show, and I thank Allah for your expressions of love. Thank you.
Yes. And when the minister prayed for you, your prayers was answered, and I thank Allah and Master for our Muhammad that they continue to bless our nation so we could go ahead and get away from this devil so our father Elijah could kill all of these wicked devils shooting our brother 60 times in the back. It should have been outrage right then and there. Enough is enough.
That's
May Allah
continue
to bless the nation of Islam. I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
Love you too. Walaikum salam.
Thank you.
As we close out, I just got word from Sister Rona. We have Dr. Jahi Issa, am I saying his name correctly, who has been to Africa 60 times and was influenced by Minister Akbar. Brother
Hey, Minister Akbar, how are you, sir?
Is he in the Gambia or is he in Ghana?
I'm in
right
now.
St. Louis.
Right now, Minister, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Right now, I'm in St. Louis with my auntie sitting right next to her, Lucille Muhammad, out of the St. Louis Mosque. So we were sitting up listening to you, and I just wanted to thank you, Minister, from the bottom of my heart. I remember reading the final call with my cousin, Lavelle and Terrell. We would always wait for you to come out and talk about the travels to Africa. And I would tell my cousin, I'm going to be like Minister Akbar one day. And since then, I know whenever the minister was in Ghana and I knew that he was there, he would call me and say, Jahi, come with me. Come to the University of Ghana. Come meet me with the Iranian ambassador to Ghana. Come with me on this. Come with me on that. Whenever I was there. So it was extremely encouraging. During those days when I will see you a lot in Ghana. And I'm so blessed. I saw the YouTube presentation on your day the other day, and I was just happy. I say, may Allah grant the minister another 20, 30 years on this earth with his divine wisdom. And as he prepares as a divine elder, as he grows stronger in the spiritual and the physical world. So I just want to thank you, Minister. I'll be going back to the Gambia, inshallah, next month. I got a few issues to deal with. But other than that, I'm just very grateful for the numerous of young men like myself that you have influenced and continue to influence.
All praise
be
to Allah.
Praise be to Allah.
You know, your words help to continue to work. Thank you so much, brother.
Oh, praises to Allah even more.
Make sure you contact me before me for Africa. Did he hear that?
Did you hear that, brother?
Jahi.
Brother Jahi, he said make sure you contact him before you go.
Yes,
Africa.
I will. And I just want to add very quick, the last project we worked on that I organized and, of course, brought the minister and other elders in, divine elders in, was we tried our best to save the Du Bois Center from the hands of these other people. And minister was extremely instrumental in helping me and organize an online platform for that in which over 5,000 people viewed it. So I'm just grateful for his eldership and his mentorship and all the divine things that he's done for on behalf of our people, whether we were Muslim, Christian, traditionalist, or whatever.
You.
He never discriminated on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, beloved.
Thank you.
And
thank
every
you.
Person listening in tonight, and a wonderful, wonderful birth anniversary. We love you. Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad, I'm with all those who have said sincerely, we pray Allah that we will be here and you'll be here. We'll all be here together for as many years as Allah is willing to give us. May Allah bless us all with love and the light of understanding, Brother Terrence, Sister Rona, Sister Pamela, Sister Donna, all of you who helped make the program possible, Student Minister Abdul Arif Muhammad. Love you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Love you. Wa alaikum salam.